Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you know that when you're going through a hard time, this is how we fight the battle? It's not by anything that we do. The Bible tells us to be still. He fights for us. It's not anything that we do. And sometimes I know for sure that it can be hard to claim that victory in the valley, in the really low times, when you see everything around you is so rough. But that's when we should be walking in the promise. We should be claiming the victory before the victories come, because we know it's coming. We shouldn't wait until we see what we want to see to praise Him for what He's going to do. Because we have to start realizing that as we walk in the kingdom, we're not always going to see what we want to see right away, but it's happening. God's moving things and He's working things that we can't see. And if we're only focused on what we see, sometimes we'll completely miss what He's doing, because we get in the way. We'll try to take control. We'll try to do things differently. And He doesn't want that. He wants us to know that when we're in the midst of it, that we know that we're surrounded by Him. That we know that victory's coming. That we know that the promise that He's given us is true. That we know it's coming even when I can't see it. I'm claiming it and I'm saying it's here even when it's not here yet, because I believe in what You've said. God's not a liar. There's not anything that He's told us that He won't come to pass for us, but we gotta stand on it. We gotta fight for it. And fighting for it is not always us taking it into our own hands, but sometimes it's just us rejoicing in the midst of the battle. Whew. I for sure know that this is speaking to me, but man, let's rejoice in the midst of the battle. Let's just rejoice today for everything He's even gonna continue to do. Because what we think is amazing, what we think is awesome, He has greater. He's taking us further. He's giving us more. If we continue to just worship and know we have victory through all of it. Can we get excited? Can we get excited about what He's doing? Can we rejoice even when we don't see what we're wanting to see? Can we just shout and enjoy the moments with Him? Can we praise Him louder than we praised Him before? These are things that the church should be doing as we move into battle. There are things happening in this world that He has the answer for. There's things that are being placed in front of us that they didn't happen by surprise to Him. He knew they were coming. And if we continue to rejoice and know the promises, we'll begin to see the kingdom on earth. He doesn't desire for us to just sit back anymore. He's telling us, I'm moving you forward. You're entering the battle, and go into it in praise. Go into it knowing you have the victory because I'm in you. Whew, man. I don't know about you, but for me, that's all I need. That's all I need is to know that I don't gotta handle anything on my own. It's already done. It's already taken care of.
Oh, do you trust Jesus? Hallelujah. Is He worthy? Is He worthy to be praised? Can you trust Him? No matter what you see going on around you, no matter what's happening to you, can you trust Him? Yeah, hallelujah. That's the question. Can you trust Him? Hallelujah. Learning to trust Jesus. Hallelujah. He said to us, He goes, Take up your cross and follow me. You can be seated if you'd like. Take up your cross and follow me. Hallelujah. Can you trust him? By what's going on around you, by saying, Lord, I trust you, I trust you. My faith says that you will take me through this. My faith says that you are leading us somewhere. My faith says, hallelujah, that I will be stronger than I've ever been because of what's going on. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you trust him? Have you learned to trust him? Hallelujah. He will speak in the midst of the battle. He will speak in the midst of the darkness. He will speak. He will show you what he has for you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about introducing this young man up before you this morning. If there's anybody that I know that it's where the Word of God says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, this young man is one of those men that's in the world today that is an example of what God has for us. And this is Pastor John McLean. Can you come on up here this morning? Hallelujah. This man, he is the founder of Veterans Rescue Mission. His heart's desire is to touch those veterans and homeless guys that need the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a big work. It's a great work. Hallelujah. He's got a table in the back, and I've got this. I like this shirt. It's a half shirt. I mean, not a half shirt. I'm sorry. It's a half sleeve. I shouldn't say half shirt because it's a half sleeve. It's really nice. No, no crop top. But visit his table, and all those things that are on the table will go to donations for the Veterans Rescue Mission. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand this morning. He's going to speak to us for a few minutes about his work. Amen. I'll pull this out.
Yeah, firstly, let me say thank you all for having me and give yourselves a round of applause for having me. Thank you so much. And surprisingly enough, I didn't realize until I was looking at pictures of the last time I was here, but it's actually been a couple years since I last spoke to you. It was July of 2018. And in this time, we were just starting our church and homeless veteran transition ministry, Veteran Rescue Mission. And in that time, I actually had one of the members of your church. We were working together at a homeless veteran camp called Bravo Base. And he says, you know what? Our pastor, Pastor Henry, wants to help a homeless veteran ministry. And maybe if you talk to him, maybe he can help you guys with what your real needs are. And at the time, we were just starting. I mean, I had a beat-up truck. I told the story last time. I told it myself I wouldn't cry this time. But I had a big beat-up truck that could barely get the veterans to appointments and barely do the things that we needed to operate our ministry. But I spoke with Pastor Henry. I told him, hey, we really need a van, like definitely a 15-passenger van like a church would have would be great. I get my vets their appointments. I can pick up vets when I find them in the streets, get all their stuff. They usually have a whole bunch of stuff and a bike and everything. Get that in the back of there and praise God. Pastor Henry said, I got you. We'll get you a van. Yeah. So thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor Henry, the spiritual supercharged family of Pastor Henry. Thank you all so much for making that possible. And since that 2 years, we've been able to build 6 tiny houses. We've been able to build a chicken coop. We've been able to build several gardens, a solar installation. We've cleared out the property completely so we can build our church sanctuary building. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. Absolutely. And then also in that same time, man, this is where, and this is definitely, if I do cry, this will be the moment. Because of your help, because the van that you gave me, we've been able to shelter over 200 people in the past 2 years. Yeah, just little old me of my broke down truck, but with the power of God and your help. And the, also the biggest kind of like the hallmark of what we've been able to do in these past 2 years is we've been able to connect 150 veterans with housing and with benefits. Is God good or is God good? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I want to think like everybody here, every single one of us, our church, our ministry, particularly myself, 2020's hit me. It's hit us hard. I mean, COVID-19's affected us all. And usually, I'm sure we all have this. I'm sure Pastor Henry, Pastor John back there will attest. There's a verse that you go to whenever, you know, transgressions, whenever like you really start to lose hope. And for me, that's Romans 15:13. And I see they've got a couple people in there. They're nodding their heads because they know what I'm going to say. And those who don't know, it goes a little something like this. It's, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. As you can trust in him, like the worship was saying to us earlier, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I get an amen? Yes. So so when COVID hit me, I mean, when it really like started like to make me scared and started to lose hope, I read this at the beginning of the year. And then like always, whenever I ask God, like, here, I'll give it to you, God. What are you going to, can you help me, please? He just rushed me with the Holy Spirit. And what did God tell me? He said, Pastor John McClain, I need you to go ahead and really spread my word. I need you to go start a radio show so you can tell all the world about the great work that you're doing. Tell them how much you love me and tell them about the other organizations doing good work. It's called the Common Good Radio Show on 10:30 a.m. Thank you, God. God is good. Yeah, God is good. And you guys can tune in today, Sunday at 2 p.m., every Sunday at 2 p.m. for that show. I'm guessing we'll be having Pastor Henry on real soon to talk about the great work you guys are doing. And then also, not only did God do that, but God said, for the longest time, you've been talking about this book that you want to write, about the work you've been doing to help the homeless and to teach other people how to do that. I need you to write that book. So God put the Holy Spirit in me, and about a month ago, I delivered that book. God is good. God is so good. And you guys can see a copy of that in the back. It's called Dear Alyssa, How to Guide to Social Change. And like I said, it'll track the work I've been doing the past 10 years. And also the main, I'd say the big reason why I'm here, and this is how I truly know that we have an amazing God, that if you give yourself to him, he rewards you beyond what you could possibly dream. Is there's a documentary coming out on November 15th at a big old theater called Harkins 18 off of Irvington and I-19. And it's much like the book. It's about the work that I've been doing for the past 10 years. And it's, yeah, God is good. God is good. Yes, definitely. Thank you. And it's called Here Comes That Dreamer. If you go to herecomesthatdreamer.com, you can pre-order those tickets. All the tickets are only pre-ordered. It's going to be limited showing for this documentary. I feel so blessed to be part of it. And all the proceeds from the radio show, the book, and the documentary are going to go to our homeless veteran transition program so we can get more veterans into housing, get more veterans the help that they need. Can I get a hallelujah? Amen. Amen. So one last time, I definitely want to give you guys a huge thank you, a huge God bless you, every single one of you, because literally, if it wasn't for you, this wouldn't be possible. I wouldn't have been able to locate those veterans. I wouldn't be able to get those veterans into housing. And for me, where this all started, being a veteran that was dealing with homelessness, dealing with a lot of hopelessness in my life, this is big, because in 2015, the VA told us that 22 veterans commit suicide a day. And I told myself, I'm going to do everything in my power to change that. And God has given me the power to do that. And with your power, I've been able to make that happen. So God bless you all. And thank you so much for having me.
Pastor John McClain. You know that it's people like him that are taking God's word and taking it to the nations. And we really love you, Pastor, and we thank you for what you're doing, being the hands and feet of Jesus in this nation. What we're going to do now is we're going to have communion. And so as our servers begin to pass out the elements, what I would ask is that as you take them, that you would hold on to them until we can all take it together. And when we have completed, that you would pass it to the sides, and one of the servers will pick up the empty cups for you. And again, every first Sunday of the month, we have corporate communion. We all join together to take communion. The other three or sometimes even four Sundays that we don't do corporate communion, but we do have individual communion that'll be set up in that table in the back of the building there, or the back of the wall. And that is for you and your family. If you want to have it, you know, go on your own, you want to take your wife, your kids, however you want to work it. But we really, really do treasure being able to join in the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And, you know, we need to know that when we take, these are just elements, right? They're just a little glass of juice, a little cracker, but oh, what it means. As we take the bread, that represents, every time I do this, that represents that perfect body of Christ. He was never sick. He was perfection. And so when we take that bread to know that his healing is for you, it's not just a piece of bread. Thank you. It's not just a piece of bread. And to receive that healing that he died for. And when you take that little glass of juice, it's a representation of the blood that he shed on that cross for you. And I would like you to do something just for a moment as we take these elements. That as we take the elements, that you would just picture that cross. And that instead of a bunch of people, or those mostly ladies that were there, and John, there's John, that it's you. You're at the foot of the cross. And he didn't do it for anyone else but for you. Because if he had to do it just for you, he would have. So please, let's take the bread. Take the bread at this time. For the healing of your bodies, his broken body for you. The cup that represents the blood he shed, please take the cup. And just take a moment and see that wonderful man hanging on a cross, and you're at the foot of it. Just you. Amen. Thank you. We'll have the servers pick up your little cups. Now, I was just going to mention, right now we sang that last song, and it said about Jesus, precious Jesus. Isn't that just the name that fills your mouth? Fills all of you? There's such a wonder in that name. I'll get going here. So it really kind of falls into the perfect place, because what I am here today is I want to talk to you about Jesus. You guys like hearing about Jesus? Amen. Well, I like to talk about it. And I'll tell you what. If this church ever stops talking about him, it's time to fold it. Time to go home. So I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. And you'll probably hear a lot of basic stuff as part of my message. A lot of Christianity 101. Most of you probably know a lot of what I'm going to say. But I think sometimes we even have to be reminded of what got us to where we are today. Basics are good. And so here it goes. As for centuries, there was an awaiting for the coming Messiah. But not until God's perfect moment did Jesus come to earth. And you think about that. All those years that they're waiting for the Messiah. And why was it about that time that he came into our midst? Whatever it was, whyever it was, it was God's perfect moment, wasn't it? That was God's perfect moment for what the reasons that he might have had. And of course, we can look back and see all the wonderful things that came about. But, you know, all these Old Testament scriptures, you know, just waiting for the Messiah, and he's coming, and finally, there he is. All those guys, all those men of faith, as Hebrews talks about, they miss seeing him. But he came at that perfect time that God had designated for him to be on earth. And to think about it, that his time on earth was a very short period. Some of us here, we've lived at least twice as long as Jesus did. Now maybe some of us getting close to three times. Never mind. Come on, Terry. But you think about it. His time, his ministry time was just a little over 3 years. I mean, all his life, I'm sure he was praying and listening to the Father. But his actual ministry, where the world got to see him, only lasted a little over 3 years. And his mission was always to be about the Father's business. He had a mission, and he knew what the Father had given him to do. And he only did, as the Word says, he only did what the Father said. And even to that last moment, as he's praying in the garden, when he states, "Father, not my will, but yours." What a wonderful place to be, huh? When we can just give everything we've got to the Father and say, "Hey, I know what I'm feeling." He knew what he was going to be facing. He knew, maybe he didn't know quite the extent of it, but he knew exactly what he would have to go through to achieve that mission that his Father had set out for him. And, you know, we've all read what went on in the garden, and, you know, where he even sweated blood. I mean, it was an intensive time for him in that garden. And yet he says, "Not my will, but yours." Let's do it, Dad. I'm here for you. Could we be that way? But he took a small group of men and poured everything he had in them. And you think about it, they were men just like you and me. They all had their views. They all had their personal issues. And so it kind of gives us a hope that as we see those men that Jesus took to be his team, if you want to call it, that these are just guys. They were guys with problems, just like we're guys with problems. But he saw something in those men that went beyond fishing, that went beyond speaking against those things that maybe weren't quite where Jesus needed them to be. He saw beyond that. And we later see that these men would be transformed to change the world. These men would change the world. It was that moment. And you think about it, these men, some of them went on to even write books, right? So here are these guys that like to fish. They changed the world. They became fishers of men, right? So see, Jesus not only taught them through his words, he taught them how to pray. He taught them how to be. Through his words, he taught them, but he also demonstrated. He showed them his authority and power over nature, over sickness, over disease, and over demonic oppression. He showed them how the kingdom of God should look like on this earth. And of course, as we read some of these stories, these guys had a kind of a little hard time trying to get this kingdom stuff. You know, they just thought it was a physical kingdom. And yet Jesus is saying, no, this is the kingdom of God on earth. And even when they asked him, teach us to pray, you know, when he taught him and he says, he prays to the Father and he says, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This isn't a plea. This is a command. This is a knowledge that his kingdom comes on earth. That we had, and he had at that time, the authority to bring that kingdom of God into our midst. So that prayer that we sometimes think is just for children, such a powerful prayer. Such a powerful prayer everything that, like you said, you think of it, it teaches us to pray. Everything that comes with prayer was taught in that prayer. And so one day really, really look at that and see what it does for you. But then the book of John, he ends with this statement. He says that if all Jesus did was written down, that there would not be enough room to contain the books that would have been written of what he did. That statement in itself gives you the idea of all the things that he did. We only have a taste. We only have a little bit of a window as to the things that Jesus did on this earth. But then Jesus comes back and he says that we can do greater things. That's even hard to receive, that we could ever compare ourselves to anything that Jesus did. But you know that our Jesus is not a liar. So if he says we can do greater things, then we can do greater things. What those things are, it's only what you believe. It's only what you say can be true. So what I want to do first is first scripture I want to go to is John 14. There we go. And I'm going to read John 14 and on, starting with verse 12. But what the setting here is, this is Jesus with his disciples. And this is the time of the Last Supper. And not all Gospels record it the way John did. John always saw the intimacy that took place. In some of the other Gospels, you know, they tell it in a different way, but John really goes into an elaborate area there, just describing all those things that took place during that last night that Jesus would have with him. And there was a time, it was such a time of so many different things that were happening. There was the washing of feet. There was the acknowledgement that there would be a denial and that there would be a betrayal. And the most part is that Jesus is leaving, and he's talking to his disciples, guys that walked with him, slept in the same desert that he did, whatever it is. They spent years being around their mentor, their teacher, their leader. And now he's telling him, well, guys, I got to go. I got to go. And so it will, as we continue to read, it will show us where he's trying to tell them that if he leaves, but yet he's being, who his replacement is. But first of all, I want to start off with, starting with verse 12. And it says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me and will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And I wanted to stop there, and I'm going to go to Philippians 2:9 before I continue. And this is the deal. Philippians, starting with verse 9, says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I wanted to bring that up as we're talking about when he's talking to his disciples. We use that name of Jesus. He says in his name, we can ask, we can do so much. That name has such power. And sometimes we just like to take that and kind of make it like the end of a prayer. In Jesus' name. Okay, amen. When you don't realize, just as I said earlier, singing that song and just verbalizing that name, there's just so much there. There is so much power in that name. And sometimes we just take it as part of a prayer. No. That name comes with authority. That name comes with love. That name comes with understanding. And we need to acknowledge that every knee will bow at the sound of that name. It is above all names. And so when somebody tries to tell you, that the power of cancer that is in your life or the power of a diabetes. No. The power of the name of Jesus is above those names. Yes. Cancer, diabetes, all these things that seem to take our focus. And sometimes we shrivel. And we have someone that has the power to bring us up and to show that those things have no power over us, because his name is above all names. Let's go back to John. I didn't think this was going to happen. So I'm going to start with verse 15. And it says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him, because neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And whoever keeps my commands, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Now, when we read that, today it's so easy for us to, we know who the advocate is, right? And we know that there is so many names that that we've given that advocate. It's the Holy Spirit of Jesus. He now lives within us. But when you think about it, he's talking to his disciples, and all they see is their Jesus leaving them. I know we've all had someone that we love that leaves us in some form or another. And so I don't really think they had any real idea as to what the Holy Spirit would look like. But I do think that maybe because they were listening to Jesus and they trusted him, it probably wasn't the best feeling they had, but they knew it was good. It was going to be a good thing. But they had no idea of what it would look like. Now, we know today that through the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. And without him, we can do nothing. He's our teacher. He's our counselor, our guide. And he helps us to worship. And he helps us to pray. And he helps us to be transformed, to for our lives to be in God's order, in God's ways. He's the one that does it all. We can do nothing without him. He's all we need for today. And so as he is talking to his disciples and they're wanting to understand what he has, the next thing that Jesus does, and this is where we go to John 17, starting with verse 13. And just as he said on the earlier, he said he wasn't leaving them as orphans. He loves these guys. He poured his life into them. And so one of the things that he does, as always, is lift them up to the Father. And so this is his prayer, and it's for them. And whenever I see the disciples or a prayer for the disciples, that's us. You know, those prayers are for us. And so this is what it's saying, so take it for yourself. It says, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, and they too may truly be sanctified. The point here is that Jesus needed these guys. They were to finish the mission because he was leaving them. And so whenever we're looking at ourselves, you know, we are continuance of what these men started. We continue with the mission that was set out for them and today for us. And he says that he wanted him to remain in our world. He, you know, could it have been just as nice as, okay, you guys are have been good, so I'm going to take you with me, you know, just go to heaven right now. No, he needed them. He needs us today to be his hands and feet upon this earth. So he prayed for you and me also. And let's go to Acts 2, 1 through 4. And like I said, a lot of this is scriptures that you're all familiar with. And this is after they've waited for that promised Holy Spirit and not knowing what it would look like. But here it comes. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Such a powerful time for a group of men, and by this time there was others that had joined them. But such a powerful time, and always wondering, not having the understanding of what this would look like. And I could imagine what they were going through, just the awesomeness of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit upon them. I know when I am at that place, I don't want to wake up. I just want to remain there. I want the Holy Spirit to minister. I want what he's got for me. And I could imagine what that first time was like for these guys, that no one else had experienced such a time. And so today, these guys, when the Spirit came upon them, they were filled, they were empowered, and as I said earlier, they would never be the same. They began to preach the word with boldness. They healed the sick, and the believers' numbers grew, it says in the word. So the empowerment of the Holy Spirit enables us to do the things that Jesus did, only if you believe. If you believe that you can do those things, and as I said earlier, greater things, if you believe it, then you can do this. And I just want to use one example. And so we'll go to Mark 11, starting with verse 22. And this is Jesus walking with his disciples. And this has been, he's talking about faith. They had just looked at a tree that had shriveled. And so they're all in awe of what happened. But this is what Jesus tells them. He says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. And truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you think about something like that, can we move a mountain? It Jesus said we could. So what God waits is for that prayer, for that declaration to align with his will, so that whatever that mountain may be, will be removed. And is it up to us to be going to God and telling him, oh, this is what's going on, this is my problem, you know, I need you, Lord, whatever it is. He already knows what our problem is, right? What he's saying here, you speak to that mountain. You tell that, whatever that mountain is, if it's a disease, if it's family problem, if it's a personal problem, whatever it is, this is what Jesus came to do. He came to show us his authority, his way of dealing with the enemy on this earth. And so it's up to us now to say, we can do this. The Holy Spirit in us has empowered us to do the things that Jesus did. So whatever that mountain is, speak to that mountain. Tell it to go away. Tell it must be removed. Tell it to go into the sea or wherever the Holy Spirit leads you in that prayer. But he's saying, we don't have to be pleading with him. He's already given us all we need. And it's up to us to just say, thank you, Lord. Well, you know that most of our prayers should consist of thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, you're thinking, oh, I'm sick. You know, I need your intervention. He's saying, I already healed you. So you thank him for what's already happened. And so sometimes we may not realize that, but it's there. And somehow we've got to get through this, whether it's doubt or whatever it is, because it's up to us to speak to those things that are keeping us down. He wants us to use what he has given us so that we may move it. So here's a little bit different area. I want to talk today about spiritual gifts. And I know you've all, probably most of you are very familiar with spiritual gifts. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, he brought gifts with him. You know, our God's a giver. So not only did we get blessed with the Holy Spirit within us, but the Holy Spirit brings all these wonderful gifts just for us. And so the definition of a spiritual gift, it's a long one, but says a spiritual gift is a grace given and is given by divine intervention. It is an expression of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, which empowers them to serve for the strengthening of the body of Christ. And so I just want to put up one verse up here before I continue with this, and that's 1 Corinthians 14:1. And at 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul is telling us, he's the one that wrote most of the books that contain the spiritual gifts. But it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So I wanted to just point that out before I go on with the gifts, because it says to eagerly desire. Okay? It's like one of these things, hey, you know, you just don't kick back and let's see what happens. There has to be an eager desire to get these gifts. But what I also want to look at is it says gifts. It's plural. And so sometimes when we read on the scriptures where it talks about spiritual gifts, and we'll read a little bit of, say, to one this and to another this. And so it makes it seem like there's your gift, you know, have a nice day. And that's not so, you know. And so how many of you guys have ever taken Discover Your Spiritual Gifts test? Has anybody ever been in a church that has done that? I know I have. And so what they do is they, you know, they hand you a little list like this, and there's gifts that show up in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Anyway, they give you the where to find the gifts, and then it tells you what you're strongest in. Well, that's good, I guess. But I think what I want to point out is that these are gifts. And why would not everyone have these gifts available to them? You know, these are gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to do is just read a couple in here. There's, like I said, there's a bunch. And so at one point, you guys can look up on this. But, you know, the first thing that, you know, that Paul says on this thing is to especially prophecy, you know. And then later you see where it says, I wish that all could prophesy, right? So that kind of takes away, well, if you have the gift of prophecy, then nobody else can have it. I wish that all could prophesy. And so these gifts are not just for one. And you look at faith is another one that's on here. Faith is a gift. And sometimes we think that we got to work it up, you know. We have the faith of a mustard seed. Lord, give me more faith. He says, I've already given you everything you'll ever need. It's just for us to activate that faith. It's up to us to let it be. He gave us the fullness. We have the fullness of Christ within us. And all these gifts that are shown on this list are already there. There's another one here, tongues. That's a gift. And why is it that so many people have such a hard time letting it flow? You know, it's not saying only three people can have that gift. It comes for everybody. All these gifts are for everybody. And it's things that he's saying, if he didn't think we needed them at some point or another, he probably wouldn't have given it to us. All that took place when Jesus walked on this earth and all that he left when he let his Holy Spirit come and he was gone was for us, that we would be strong. As it says, these spiritual gifts are for the strengthening of the body of Christ. He wants a strong church, and he's given us all we could ever possibly need to be that strong church. And so when we look at the different things, do we need more faith? You know, the more you exercise it, the more their faith grows. Do you need to get going on speaking in tongues or praying in tongues, whatever it is? You know, most of the time when people, and I'll share a little bit, is that when you start to want to speak in tongues, people always think that they sound weird, you know. But you think about it, you know, start off just like in grammar school. Every little kid started with A, B, C or whatever. And now we can speak and make senses. Well, most of us can anyway. Maybe not everybody. Pastor Henry can't. But, you know, it's something that we grow in. But we got to start somewhere. We got to allow, if it's a gift, and it was a gift that the Holy Spirit thinks is valuable to us, then maybe we should heed it. And when it says discerning of spirits, there's another gift. We always think of, oh, we can tell when the evil spirits are around. Well, this is also for spirits. Good spirits, you know, are you in the right place? Are you hearing the right words? This is the discernment of spirits is not only for the bad stuff. It's for the good stuff. That could be the bad stuff. But all these gifts, I'm just bringing up, like I said, two or three of them, but you guys can get in there and look at it. And, you know, these things are available to all of us. And, you know, we may not always or never use some of them. But you wonder, though, is that, let me read this in. The measure of a gift can differ as we exercise our use. The more we use it, the more fluent it becomes. We learn to know and we learn to trust the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So these gifts are there. We start using them. We get into where we see the Holy Spirit moving us. And if we never step into it, we may never know what's been made available to us. So let's, now I want to read Romans 12, starting with verse 3. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good here with time. Okay, and that says, it says, for the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all others. And so when you look at this, I think one of the things that Paul was trying to communicate with us is that sometimes because we have a gift, we may think of ourselves a little higher than the rest of the congregation, or our church, they speak in tongues. We're better than that other church over there. We seem to allow these giftings that God has blessed us with to be a hindrance rather than a help. And so there are two common errors that can weaken and not strengthen the body. And one of them is that we are too proud of our abilities, too proud of where we are and where we were to where we are today. We get too proud of that. And we tend to look at someone that maybe isn't healing or maybe isn't doing what someone else is doing. And we compare ourselves to that person and we seem like we're pretty good here, you know? But what's the other one? The other one is thinking that we have nothing to offer. You can get to a point that you may be looking at George, you know, on the other side of the aisle and saying, oh, well, I can't be as good as George, so I might as well just never move. I can't go pray for that person, you know. I'll let George do it. And so those two, rather than to strengthen our church body, can weaken it. You think you're too good or you're not good enough. And that's something that God wants to deal in both of those areas and those of you that may be there. Okay? The Holy Spirit may be stirring you in areas that you haven't even explored. And he's waiting to reveal those hidden treasures that are within you. So don't depend on someone else to do it. God is waiting on you. So, as we see our nation, our world today, it may seem very dim. We see the enemy having a field day with those that follow his direction. We see division, sickness, violence, and confusion. And this can take our focus from where it should be. And that is, what is God doing? We look at all this dimness in our world and it gets so unbearable for us that we take our eyes off of Jesus. What is the church body doing? When all appears dim, it should be the best time for the church to shine the brightest. Just as Jesus and his disciples were placed on earth for a specific moment and changed the world, and whether we were born 10 years ago or 50 years ago, we are also here at God's perfect moment. What will we do with it? God is preparing a great outpouring of his Spirit. And he's going to pour that Spirit upon this nation and upon this world. So we can be a part of it, or we can watch from the sidelines. He has blessed us with the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. He has equipped us with all we would ever need. We have the fullness of Jesus. We lack nothing. So will our hands be those that heal? Our mouth be used to tell someone about Jesus, someone that has never heard about Jesus? Will our feet be the ones that will take his word to the mission fields, to the nations? This is our moment, our time, to let the Spirit of Jesus shine through each of us. Someone out there needs you. And it's our time to shine. And that concludes my message. So please, thank you. Please join me in prayer. The power verse that I put on your, we put on your bulletin there is out of Ephesians 1, verse 18. And this is Paul. He say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. What is God trying to show each of us? And just as we always say in this church, Pastor really reminds you of, what is God telling you? Not compare yourself to someone else. What is he telling you? We're going to pray that God would let the eyes of your heart be opened, and that all the natural things that are taking our focus away, what God's trying to show us, that would be what goes into the darkness. So that not only the presence of Jesus shines in this world, but that we shine in that world. So join me in prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you that you have blessed us with the presence of your Holy Spirit in this world, Lord. With you, we can do all things, Lord, because you strengthen us. And without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we want to see you with our heart. We want to take our eyes off of what we see in this world. And it's not a very pretty world, but it is because you're here. Doesn't appear to be pretty, but Lord, you're here. We want to see you, Lord. We want to see your presence in this place, Lord. All this other stuff, it's there. But it doesn't matter, Lord, because you, we trust you, Lord. As Pastor said earlier, we trust you. And this, whatever's going on, has no power over your children, Lord. Thank you for the authority that you've given us, Lord, to speak to the mountains in our life. Thank you for showing us, Lord, that this nation belongs to us, Lord. It does not belong to the enemy. And Lord, in your name, the most powerful name,
we take our nation back. We pray that your Spirit would just pour out, not only on your people, Lord, but those that have never heard of you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we don't see it all today, Lord, but we do see it, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.